This is a Montbog Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
I'm going to read to you a post that I saw. I think I saw it through Facebook, but it's like a blog thing put online by Elizabeth Gilbert is her name, and she's the author of the book called Eat, Pray, Love. And you might have seen, I haven't seen it or read it, but there's a movie by the same name. Anyway, this is the author and this is what she was writing. Let me see. She says, "Are you feeling more afraid than you need to feel?" This was written in about April this year, or that's when I found it. She says, "Are you feeling more afraid than you need to feel? Does this photo help?" Excuse me. Hair out of my face. "Does this photo help? It helps and inspires me. I'm in London right now, and last night at dinner I sat next to a historian and we got talking about the London Blitz, the 57 straight nights of German bombing raids that terrorised English citizens, destroyed great swathes of London and left thousands dead. As for how the English decided to comport themselves during the terror, well, this photo tells the story. Sit in the rubble of what was once your home and have a cup of tea. You've heard of keep calm and carry on. You've seen that classic British wartime poster replicated a million times in a million forms till the message has nearly become forgotten. But it's worth remembering in earnest. I think the modern Western world has become way, way too afraid. We've been so safe and so prosperous and so comfortable for so long that we've become hypersensitive to even the faintest brushes of fear. Real and imagined terrors haunt us, and we magnify these terrors mightily. The news scares us, our food scares us, unwashed hands scare us, letting our children walk outside alone scares us, strangers scare us, traffic scares us, the weather scares us, change of any kind scares us, air travel scares us, not wearing sunscreen scares us, our shadows scare us. We are far, far more afraid than we need to be. I say this not because the world is without risk, but only because we have deep, latent capacities for endurance and survival, which most of us has forgotten about. Whatever the danger or upheaval, real or imagined, emotional or material, we can work through it. Really, we can. People always have. Above all else, we have the capacity to cultivate a willful dignity in the face of our fears. Look at this photo every once in a while for an example of the horrors people have managed to handle calmly. You have that in you too, somewhere. Trust me on this. And if all else fails, just sit for a moment, have a cup of tea, and reflect on this calming truth. Whatever the chaos around you, real or imagined, you're still here. I found that it impressed me what she said. So then I went online and just sort of searched that poster because I don't remember having ever seen it before. I'd heard about the British thing, have a cup of tea, but not about keep calm and carry on. So I went online and I found Wikipedia site and they just had some things to say about it. And some other posters. This is another one that was produced during the war. It's very British, I think, you know. Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. But very true, you know. It was speaking to the people in a time of need and trying to encourage them and lift them up. But I found some others as well. And it was saying, this site was saying how that the parodies, the copies, the imitations range from things like something to do with Kate Middleton and Prince William's marriage, which I've never seen, but also, you know, even to Mario games. So I'll just show you a few of them. This is one, get excited and make things. And it's got spanners in the crown. You know, that must be a Mario Brothers one. Another one was now panic and freak out. I thought, yeah, well, that must be Mario Brothers. There's another one, keep calm and eat cupcakes and see the little cupcake sign. And there's another one, and I haven't got pictures of it. It says, don't panic and fake a British accent. Not sure what the intention of that is. Or keep calm and hate Apple. And it's got a Windows logo in it. Or keep calm and hate Windows, and it's got an Apple logo in it. So there's all sorts of variations of it. There was a British band that used it, and they did a Keep Calm and Play Louder tour. So, you know, the one that I love the most, though... Oh, and I also found this one. Stay Alive and Avoid Zombies. Well, I'll think on that one. I might come back to that a little bit later. But the one that I like the most, and you would have seen this one in the newsletter, Keep Calm, He Has Overcome the World. Keep calm, or be of good cheer. Take heart, He has overcome the world. So what's all that got to do with us? What's it all got to do with our relationship with the Lord and our walk? Think about those words, keep calm, and carry on. Well, they're just words, really. I mean, they are encouraging words. They're speaking to us to say, you know, find some resolve within yourself, keep calm, carrying on, and carry on. But our strength doesn't come from within ourselves. It comes from the Lord. Keep calm. He has overcome the world. So what I want to say to you today and remind us of is that we are spirit beings. We're called to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. But we can be so preoccupied and caught up with the fears and the worries that we all face. We can be caught up with the routine, mundane, everyday things that we have to deal with. We can be caught up with all their real and imagined fears. So distracted with all that life demands of us that we can fall into a trap of responding to life in a really unspiritual way, so that our walk with the Lord really has taken second place because we're responding out of the flesh, not out of the spirit. So, yes, I agree with Elizabeth Gilbert that we do have a capacity to triumph in the midst of trial and hardship, but you have to agree with me, I'm sure you agree with me, that our real strength comes from knowing the Lord. You know, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Without him, we won't ultimately triumph. Without him, we won't ultimately do all that he's called us to do. And we've had words to that effect this morning, that we need the Holy Spirit to be with us every hour, every minute of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year, and so on and so on and so on. We need God to be with us all the time. He leads us by his Holy Spirit every day. So every trial, every joy, every trial. Just think about this for a moment. Your trial may be that you end up in the lion's den. Your trial may be that, you know, you're sold as a slave. Your trial may be that you're thrown into a pit. Who knows? Every trial, every joy, God is with us and he leads us day by day. But unless we are actually following him, unless we are actually listening for his voice as he speaks, we could be going on a journey. We could be going on our journey all alone. And we could be heading in the wrong direction. We need the Holy Spirit. There is so much going on around us, so much clamouring for our attention. Some of it's godly, but a whole lot of it isn't. So who or what are we following? Who or what directs the choices that we make? There's lots of turmoil and confusion and distress in the world at large. And as I said, you know, even in our little corner of it, there can be lots of turmoil and confusion. Where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord. Does it really come from keeping calm and carrying on? No. It comes from knowing that he has overcome the world. There are so many problems around us, and there are so many different opinions about the solutions for those problems that are around us. So many things to distract and worry us and cause us concern. And there's so much of foolishness and time-wasting as well. When I was just preparing for this, and I've seen it before, there's even a website called Distractify. Has anybody come across that? So I had a look on it, and it's just piffle. There's all these little things on there, pictures and stuff, and I just selected a few examples. 25 teeny tiny kittens being adorably teeny tiny. 21 things to expect before you move in with a dude. 30 innovations that totally need to be everywhere already. The 30 most picturesque winter towns around the world. The 57 most awkward names in existence. Some of those things are amusing, some of them are interesting, and some of them are just so off. But they are all really just distractions and time wasters. And that's just a little example of everything that's out there to attract our attention. So what should we be doing? How can we make best use of our time? What's the purpose of our life? What should be the focus of our life? Our life can't just be all about us and how we feel about things. It can't just be directed by the situation that we find ourselves currently in, whether it's good or bad. We won't ultimately and finally overcome and fulfil our purpose unless we are led and guided by the Holy Spirit. God has to be central to all that we do. The choices that we make and all that we do have to be with reference to Him. So, here are some questions to consider, and we've been hearing some of them in recent times already. I'm going to bombard you a little bit, so get ready. Are we awake or are we asleep? What do we do with our time? Are we praying and worshipping as much as we should or as much as we need to? Are we praying as often as the Bible tells us to? Are we praying always or are we too distracted? Are we seeking the glory of God or is our own glory more important? Is our own opinion more important? Is what we think more important than what anybody else has to say, even God? Do we push our own barrow? In other words, what's important to me, what I want to see happen, what's the best thing that I think should happen? Are we pushing our own barrow or are we pushing God's? Are we willing to hear what God is saying from someone else? Could God possibly speak to me through somebody else? What's occupying our attention? Are we overstressed and caught up with the worries and issues around us? Is our attention taken by useless, time-wasting stuff? What do we spend our time thinking on? Are we emotional butterflies, as Tim described so aptly, so that we can't remain focused for any length of time without losing interest or going off to find a new experience? Is our faith an experience or a series of experiences when we need or we want God to do something the way we think it should be done? Or is our faith a lifestyle? Are our hearts touched by the real, the very real need that we see all around us? Do we truly, truly grieve over the lost? Are we cold-hearted? Are we lukewarm? Are we sharing the good news as much as we can, or are we too caught up in our life to see the need and the opportunities that are before us? I was in Safeway a couple of weeks ago and I missed an opportunity. I didn't even see it until later on. There was an opportunity right there and I didn't even see it. Is our light shining so that it can be seen? Do we truly walk in the Spirit every day? Or are we like zombies? We say we're alive, but we're really dead. Are we walking in the Spirit every day? Are we caught in something like sleep paralysis that Tim described, where the devil's sitting on our chest so that we can't even move? Are we active for God? So what is our purpose? Because if we know, I really believe it, if we know and if we're really convinced of our purpose, then surely the choices that we make about what we do and how we respond to life will show the truth or the depth of our conviction. What is our purpose? What are we convicted about? Rick Warren, in his book Purpose Driven Life, I think I've got a slide for this one, suggests 5 things. We were planned for God's pleasure, so your first purpose is to offer real worship. We were formed for God's family, so your second purpose is to enjoy real fellowship. We were created to become like Christ, so your third purpose is to learn real discipleship. We were shaped for serving God, so your fourth purpose is to practice real ministry. We were made for a mission, so your fifth purpose is to live out real evangelism. These sound good, don't they? So do you think, you know, that may sum up our purpose? Before we start feeling condemned or hopeless, I'm going to read to you from Romans 8, from The Voice. Therefore, now, no condemnation awaits those who are living in Jesus, the anointed, the liberating King. Because when you live in the anointed one, Jesus, a new law takes effect. The law of the Spirit of life breathes into you and liberates you from the law of sin and death. God did something the law could never do. You see, human flesh took its toll on God's law. In and of itself, the law is not weak, but the flesh weakens it. So to condemn the sin that was ruling in the flesh, God sent his own Son, bearing the likeness of sinful flesh as a sin offering. Now we are able to live up to the justice demanded by the law. But that ability has not come from living by our fallen human nature. It's come because we walk according to the movement of the Spirit in our lives. If you live your life animated by the flesh, namely your fallen, corrupt nature, then your mind's focused on the matters of the flesh. But if you live your life animated by the Spirit, namely God's indwelling presence, then your focus is on the work of the Spirit. A mind focused on the flesh is doomed to death, but a mind focused on the Spirit will find full life and complete peace. You see, a mind focused on the flesh is declaring war against God. It defies the authority of God's law and is incapable of following his path. So it's clear that God takes no pleasure in those who live oriented to the flesh. But you do not live in the flesh. You live in the Spirit, assuming, of course, that the Spirit of God lives inside you. The truth is that anyone who does not have the Spirit of the Anointed living within does not belong to God. If the Anointed One lives within you, even though the body is as good as dead because of the effects of sin, the Spirit is infusing you with life now that you are right with God. If the Spirit of the One who resurrected Jesus from the dead lives inside you, then you can be sure that he who raised him will cast the light of life into your mortal bodies through the life-giving power of the Spirit residing in you. So, my brothers and sisters, you owe the flesh nothing. You do not need to live according to its ways, so abandon its oppressive regime. For if your life is just about satisfying the impulses of your sinful nature, then prepare to die. If you've invited the Spirit to destroy those selfish desires, you will experience life. If the Spirit of God is leading you, then take comfort in knowing that you're his children. You see, you've not received a spirit that returns you to slavery, so you have nothing to fear. The Spirit you've received adopts you and welcomes you into God's own family. That's why we call out to him, Abba Father, as we would address a loving daddy. Through that prayer, God's Spirit confirms in our spirits that we are his children. If we're God's children, that means we're his heirs along with the Anointed, set to inherit everything that is his. If we share his sufferings, we know that we will ultimately share his glory. God's good, isn't he? His plan for us is good. So what is God telling you to do? What is God saying to you? Not to your brother and sister, not to those around about you, but what is God saying to you? What is it that he wants from you? I'm not going to tell you that. Let the Holy Spirit tell you. Let him show you that. But I will say that I know that our relationship with the Lord is not all about what we can get from him or how he should be doing things for us, but it's more about what he wants to do in us and through us by his Holy Spirit. Just think on that for a moment. And by way of encouragement, here I found another little poster. And I'm not sure about how accurate this is. It says that do not be afraid is written in the Bible 365 times. I didn't check that up. And whether it is true or not, I know it says in the Bible a lot of times, do not be afraid. God is with us always. Fear not, he has overcome the world. Keep calm, he's overcome the world. Be of good cheer, he's overcome the world. So now, for a moment, I just want to talk about some things that might hinder us from hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. One of the ways God uses to speak to us is by the preaching of the word. So in church setting or in home groups or whatever, it's the preaching of the word that God uses often to speak to us so that we can hear his voice. So standing up here and talking to you carries with it a degree of responsibility. Anyone who gets up here is responsible to share as clearly as we can whatever God has given us to say, and also to do all that we can in prayer and preparing beforehand. And as we speak, to not do anything that would hinder you from hearing clearly, to not give any to not give an untarnished message or one that's just too difficult to hear. So while the message is hopefully true, because we've been seeking God and praying, and providing we've done all that we can in our preparation, in the delivery of it, I guess what I'm saying is that in the delivery of it and how we bring it across is going to have a part to play in how you hear, how the body hears, if you understand what I'm saying. Sorry, that was garbled. But how I say it will have an impact on how you hear it. The other side of that, though, is that as hearers, we need to have our ears open to what God is saying to us and to make sure that we are open to the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the vessels that he's chosen to use. So prayer, individual prayer and corporate prayer in this house is so vitally important so that God's voice is heard when he speaks. That's the responsibility that we all carry. We all have to pray. So as I talk to you today, I might say something, I may very well say something that won't come out as I've intended to say it and as I've intended for you to hear it. What I say may not come across the way I want it to say. I pray that's not the case, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us all to hear what he's saying to us, even through my imperfectness. Anybody who's up here. But another aspect to being up here is that while I really don't want to offend you, that's not my intent, it's really important, it's more important that I don't offend God. So if he's given me something to say, no matter how difficult it is, then I'd better do my best to say it. And I have to say it the way I would say it. I've got to do it my way because he's made me to be who I am. And he's made you to be like you are. But he's put us all together in one body. So we need the Holy Spirit to work through our differences so that we can hear what God is saying. The message is what's important, not the messenger. And hopefully we're not stubborn enough that God will need to use a donkey to get the message across. He's done that before. We've heard that, hasn't he? He's done that before, he's used a donkey. We don't want to be also like those that Paul warns Timothy about in 2 Timothy 4. Let me just read it to you. He says, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of a ministry." That's pretty tough, isn't it? But God is speaking and we need to have our ears open so that we can hear what he's saying to us. So I pray that if anything is said from this platform, is anything that's said from up here is difficult to hear, that we'll have ears to hear. And I'm not saying that anybody who's up here is infallible. You know, that's why we need the Holy Spirit. But what I am saying is that we are all responsible to listen, to do all that we can to discern God's voice and not be closed to what he might be saying to us. Because not be closed because it might be something different to what we usually hear, something that we don't want to hear, something that makes us uncomfortable. We've got to be open so that we can hear what God's saying to us. Okay. Where am I up to? So we need to have ears, and this is to hear. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." He's there ready to snatch away the word, and if we don't have ears to hear. He's there to try and set us up for a fall. We've got to have our ears open. We've got to be listening. And, yeah, I'll come back to that in a moment. So remember, we don't want to be going on a journey all on our own and going in the wrong direction. We've got to know that we're walking in the Spirit. So I also want to remind us that we need to know and remember the grace of God that's been shown to us and show that grace towards one another as well. We are all being perfected day by day. And God uses our weaknesses, our imperfections, to rub off our rough edges, doesn't he? It's as we rub up against one another that the grace of God is at work in our lives to take away those things that hinder us, that cause us to trip over. And, the grace of God. God gives grace to the humble, so we need to be humble, we need to show grace. We also need to understand, and I think this is a key point, we need to understand and recognise how easy it is to be wounded or offended at times. And that applies to all of us. Perhaps, you know, you would think, well, I've been walking with the Lord for such a long time, I shouldn't be offended. But, you know, the enemy catches us unawares. We can be sailing along so secure in our faith, and that's when the devil will get us, and he'll blindside us with something that is just sometimes so ridiculous, and yet we can take an offence. We can't let that happen. Let's encourage one another daily while it's called today. We are in the end times, times of the end, so we need to do all that we can to not allow time to be wasted or lost. We can't be caught up in the issues and distractions of life. We can't be caught up over offences and wounds that are often unintended. We can't be caught up over different opinions. They just waste time. And they hinder us from doing what God's called us to do. They reduce our effectiveness. They reduce our ability to let God's light shine through us so that people can see. And I'm not saying that any wounds or offences are not real, but I am saying that instead of going off and, you know, into a corner and licking our wounds or sharing a hurt, we should go to the person who we feel's offended us and let God clear the matter up. It may be that God wants to talk to us. It may be that he's trying to say something to us. Go to the person who you feel has offended you and talk to them about it. Let them clear it up. It may just be a misunderstanding. Sort it out. Don't let the devil hijack what God is wanting to say to us, what God is wanting to do in us and through us. Hebrews 3 says, "Today, if you'll hear his voice, don't harden your hearts." And I'm saying, don't let our hearts become hardened towards one another, because then the next step is that we become hardened towards God. And the devil looks for opportunities to bring us into dispute or disagreement. He looks for opportunities to sidetrack us from what God is wanting to do. So instead of being focused on God, we're focused on us and poor me, or on my brother or sister who's done something to offend me, or on my fears and worries. Instead of looking at God, keep calm. He has overcome the world. And look, I'm not aiming this at anybody in particular. I'm not aiming this at any situation. It could be me. I can get offended. It could be David. It could be any one of us. I'm just saying that I'm so aware of how different we all are, and that's a really good thing, that we are all different, and how God really has been speaking to us. He does speak to us all the time. And I'm really aware of how late the time is and how the Bible says that even the very elect can be deceived. I don't want anybody to fall away. I don't want anybody to be lost. I don't want anybody to be sidetracked from what God is wanting to do in us and through us. We are one body and Jesus is the head. Here's another poster. This one was made during the war. Freedom is in peril. Defend it with all your might. But I think that's really apt for where we are now. Our freedom is in peril if we allow it to happen. Defend it with all your might. Keep calm. He has overcome the world. We have to fight the fight of faith. We have to hang on and we can't let go. And we have to remember that we have the good news and that people need to hear it. We're so safe and secure in here. Isn't it comfortable being together where everybody agrees? Out there, it's a little bit scary, but there are people out there who are lost and are going to an eternity without God. And we sit here and we're comfortable. Oh, I'm talking to myself. It's so easy to stay secluded and to just not think about that. But there are people that need to know what we know. So I want to finish off with some scriptures. And I've got quite a few, but I just want to let you know, remind us again of what the Bible has to say about where we're at. Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40 says this. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is from the Message. This is the most important, the first on any list. But there's a second to set alongside it. Love others as well as you love yourself. These two commands are pegs. Everything in God's law and the prophet hangs from them. Galatians 5:16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." Micah 6 verse 8 says, "But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and loyal in your love, and don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously." Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things, the works that he's planned for us long ago." Matthew 28:18 to 20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age.'" These scriptures all say to me that life's not about us, but it's about our God and how we should respond to him and to others. All that we do has to be with reference to him. We have to walk in the Spirit. He must be first in our lives. And then out of our relationship with him, we need to share that good news. And I love this scripture in Luke 10. And it's one that I've heard hundreds of times, but it's just been highlighted to me again recently. It's where Jesus visits Mary and Martha. Luke 10:38, it says, "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her.'" It's not all about us or what, you know, somebody else and what they should be doing. It's about him. It's about our relationship with him. Those things might need doing. You know, they still need to be done, but it's all about him. It's not about those around us and what they're doing or not doing. It's about him. Mary sat at the Lord's feet. We need to do more of that. So what's our purpose? Jesus showed us the way. John 12:23 says, "But Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honour." And Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." We're called to be a living sacrifice. We're called to walk in the Spirit. We sacrifice our rights, our life, to serve him, to serve Jesus. It's not about us. And just with reference to how we feel we're treated sometimes, or how to say people respond to us, I found this little quote of what Mother Teresa said. It says, "People are often unreasonable and self-centred. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you're honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough, but give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." Keep calm. He has overcome the world. I'm going to read from Ephesians 5. This is my last scripture. And this is from the Message. And the title for this chapter in the Message Bible is "Wake Up From Your Sleep." Ephesians 5 verse 1. "Watch what God does, and then you do it, like children who learn proper behaviour from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off on a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variations on idolatry, will get you nowhere, and certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Don't let yourselves get taken in by religious smooth talk. God gets furious with people who are full of religious sales talk but want nothing to do with him. Don't even hang around people like that. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true, these are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine, that cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God, huge draughts of him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything, any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. So what's our purpose? Follow Jesus. He showed us the way. Walk in the Spirit every day. Love God, love our neighbour, and share the good news, because it is such good news. We can't keep it to ourselves. Let's pray. God, you are so good. Lord, you are so good, and you have blessed us so abundantly, Lord. Lord, you've opened our eyes. You've brought us out of darkness. You've shown us so much love, Lord God. You've poured out your grace and your mercy in our lives, Lord. We are blessed. Every day of our lives, we are blessed. God, I pray for each one of us here, Lord, that you would continue to stir us up, Lord. Stir us up. Open our eyes to see you, Lord God. Give us ears to hear your voice, Lord God. Help us to walk closely with you. Holy Spirit, every day, wake us up, Lord God, that we would hear your voice and know your will and walk in it, Lord God. Help us to see the opportunities around about us to reveal you to those that are lost and don't know you. Help us to speak for you, Lord God. Help us to shine brightly for you in a dark world, Lord God. You are God. You are our God. You are our Lord. Lord, and we pray that you would have your perfect way in our lives, Lord. Don't let us just sit here and grow fat, Lord God. Let us get out there and do your will, Lord. Let us see the nations, Lord, change, Lord. Let us see people turning back to you, Father God. Let us see those prodigals come back, Father God. Because, Lord, give us your heart, Lord, that we would long for them to be saved just like you do, Lord. That we would seek them, Lord, those that are lost, just like you, Lord, that picture, Lord. You gave everything so that we, the lost, would be found, Lord. Let us have your heart, God, that we would go out and we would speak for you, that we would do for you, that you would be glorified through us, Lord God, that your name would be proclaimed. You are God, and there is no one like you. Have your way, Lord God. Be glorified. Be exalted, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website, or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.